going on, everyone? Welcome to episode 14 of Sports from the Six. Ali Khan Ravjani here with Dwayne the Body Turner. And Flip, I got my drink and I got my sip, Livingstone.
What's up, buddy?
In the background, doing her thing like always, Stacy Dijon Deshaun.
Need a little Dijon in my life.
Need a little bit of Dijon. I just had some on my turkey sub. That's what you call,
good call,
a wholesome lunch. What's going on, everyone? Great time to be a sports fan right now, as always. The NBA Finals, quicker than expected. They're upon us, and they're coming next week.
June 4th, Thursday, June 4th. You guys ready for Cavs and Warriors?
Cannot wait for Cavs and Warriors. We have some differings of opinion here at the Sports from the Six radio booth. Some of us are confused as to who is on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Guys, LeBron James is on this team, just so you know. I think, have you, everyone forgotten here?
Okay. Go ahead, Alex.
Let's hear it.
Dwayne the Body, please enlighten me.
No, I mean, here's the way I look at it. If you wanted to list out all the players and kind of rank them, you got LeBron James at one. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and then, I mean, the problem is Kyrie's not healthy, so I don't know where you necessarily rank him. But then after that, it's just Golden State. It's the Golden State roster, and then Cleveland.
And James Jones, we trust.
You make a good point. I'm not going to sit here and deny the fact that Golden State has a deep team. They have a deep team and a talented team, you know, like they dusted the Western Conference this year, and that's what we agree upon in this booth, that is the stronger conference. So, yeah, you know, they're statistically favored right now. So, you know what, you can't doubt them. But my thing is, and I've been saying it, LeBron is hungry this year. Not that he hasn't been in past years. He's got that look in his eye that he wants to prove people wrong, that coming back to Cleveland was not the right move. And you know what? At this point, I don't think I could bet against LeBron. He's in full beast mode right now. Full beast mode.
I see the Golden State Warriors as a team that's deeper, better. I think they're better coached, in my opinion, with Steve Kerr. And they're a team that's efficient on both ends of the court. That being said, they've shown signs of softness in these playoffs. I wasn't really ecstatic with the way they played against the Pelicans. I thought, okay, yes, they swept them. I wasn't ecstatic with the play. And this Houston series, a couple games early, the games 1 and 2, really could have gone either way.
That's right.
So when you look at that team, but you look at what they're going to throw out at LeBron. You got Klay, probably the best two-way shooting guard in the entire league. Then you got Draymond. You got Harrison Barnes. You got Iguodala. They're sending four different guys on LeBron. And yes, the joke was made in class, you're going to need to send them all at once to shut down LeBron. That's not true. They're going to have guys that can match up with LeBron for all 48 minutes. And I see that as a problem for Cleveland.
You know what? You guys are making excellent points, and I can't refute them. The only thing that I can say is this team is not battle-tested. Steve Kerr, as much as you like him, not a battle-tested coach. This is their first deep run as a team, their first run as a team together at all. Mind you, new team for LeBron as well, but not a new setting. He's thriving right now. This is where LeBron separates himself from the rest of the league. James Harden was dropping 40 with ease on this Warriors defense. I'm just worried for them on what LeBron James at the top of his game will do to them.
Okay, so that's interesting.
And that's one guy, though, right? So that's one guy, exactly. And I know there's still the rest of the teams.
Yeah.
I know it's going to be a good series. I just think LeBron's got that killer instinct this year, and I think they're going to take it.
So you think without a healthy Kyrie, Matthew Dellavedova is going to be able to stop the onslaught that's coming from Steph?
Even with his health status right now, Kyrie Irving is not as good as Steph Curry, but he's better than any other guard on their team, even at half-mast. Klay Thompson had a great season and a great couple past seasons. He's never played in the playoffs before, not this deep. Kyrie hasn't either. I guess I have more belief in the Cavs starting five.
And those former New York Knicks.
Hey, they're winning games. And they're winning games with ease. Mind you, the East, like we said, is softer. But I think what concerns me the most is, and you said it, the trouble that the Western Conference teams did give the Golden State Warriors.
And see, Flip, that's the thing. You bring up a great point. And me and Dwayne were talking about this earlier. With ease is what the Cleveland Cavaliers did. It hasn't been like that all season. We know that they struggled early, but like we talked about earlier, what about when the Cavs hit that first hit of adversity, when they enter Oracle Arena? They haven't played in an arena like that this season. the intensity, that passion when things go wrong. What if they do drop game one and two to Golden State? Can they rebound from something like that on their court? Do they have the mental fortitude? Not LeBron. We all know LeBron has it. Do the other guys have that mental fortitude to come out and win a series after being down or after losing at Oracle Arena?
On their own? No. With LeBron, the general out there, they have the whole, he has the whole team on his back right now. He's, you know what? You made a great point with the coaches. And yeah, I'd probably side with Kerr over Blatt because, you know, we've talked about Blatt looks like a goof half the time he's out there. He doesn't know what he's doing. But LeBron is coaching this team right now. I'm not concerned. We've heard him say, I scrapped that play and told me to give me the ball, and they're winning games. I don't think they're going to be stopped. I think Golden State will have their time. It's not this year. I kind of run a parallel to the Tampa Bay Lightning in the NHL. All kinds of talent, definitely going to have their time, but it's not yet, personally. And you know what? My prediction, and we can go around the table here, is Cavaliers in six. I think it's going to be a great series.
See, for me, my issue is that I thought the Chicago Bulls were the only test that the Cavaliers would have seen in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And
it wasn't a test.
I mean, it ended in six games. And the Atlanta Hawks, I mean, congratulations for the 60 wins. But, I mean, at the end of the day.
No, they didn't deserve to be there.
Kyle Korver, they lose Kyle Korver. I mean, as soon as Kyle Korver went down, I knew that that was DeMar Carroll, who was the main defender on LeBron. I mean, he was hobbled all series.
Thabo Sefolosha didn't even play.
He was never there, and he would have been a huge cog for that
defensively.
Team. And Al Horford, we saw the ejection. We can talk about that later if we want. And Paul Millsap, he was never healthy. So
no.
this wasn't a team that was going to contest with them.
No, they cakewalked through the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's my issue. And in terms of the Golden State Warriors, we say that, you know, they just breezed through. I mean, Ali brought it up. I mean, that sure was a four-game sweep against the Pelicans, but they did give them a bit of a fight. The Memphis series, I thought that actually helps them. I think going down 2-1 to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah.
That gave them a bit of a test and gave them some adversity that they had to fight through.
That was huge.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, the Houston series, which was a great battle between James Harden and Steph Curry.
And Lil B.
The curse. So.
Google that for you guys.
Exactly.
Don't know what's going on.
Me and Stacey are stirring Google, up here in the background.
Google Lil B and James Harden. You can figure it out. It's not worth talking about on this show. Go ahead, Dwayne. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no. I mean, for me, because Golden State is just so deep, I get it. You know, it's just one play. LeBron is the best player in the league and playing like it. But to average a triple-double against the Atlanta Hawks or as close to it as he was, I just don't think it's as impressive as something he could do, say, against somebody in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, I'm taking Golden State in five.
I think that depth. Oh, my goodness.
I just don't see how the Cavs can match up.
You know what?
I see the Cavs winning in game three because that's the thing. Yeah. Golden State is actually a fantastic road team.
They're a great team.
We saw what they did in the playoffs so far. I mean, they're very impressive.
No, you know what? Don't get me wrong. And that's why I'm saying I can't disagree with what you guys are saying because it's all true. You know, they're an amazing team. They have the MVP. They have arguably, you know, other than LeBron, the best player in the league. Steph Curry's been lights out. I don't know. I think when the push comes to shove and there's 3 seconds on the clock, I want LeBron to have the ball every time. And I think this is going to be a very close series. And I think that will be the case a bunch of times. It's going to come down to the buzzer beaters.
See, that's where you and I disagree. I just don't see. I don't think it ever even gets to that point.
You don't think it gets close?
I don't think it gets close to that point.
Wow. I'm going to call at least one buzzer beater winning shot in this series.
Okay.
At least one.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Now that you want the prediction of all predictions,
let's hear it.
In the house, so I'm going to give you the prediction right here.
I'm waiting.
I'm with Dwayne. I don't think it's going to be as much of a cakewalk as we think. I think LeBron James alone can win you two games in a series.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
However, Flip, with that being said, this Golden State Warriors squad is deeper than any team in recent memory for me. And at every single position, and you know what scares me the most? Yes, Klay Thompson has a concussion issue right now.
It
needs to be mentioned, and it's something. But there's also a week off between now and the next game.
Yep.
Which, at the same time, bodes really well for Kyrie Irving as well.
Yep.
You got a full week of rest because he came back injured, mind you, again, against the Hawks, who looked like they fell asleep after game one. And he scored, what did he score, like 20 points? So if he can stay healthy and you get the performances that you've been getting from Iman Shumpert, Thompson, and Dellavedova, which is a big ask— it's not going to be a close series, right. boys. I'm going to tell you right now that Golden State Warriors are going to tuck tail and run.
But
I'm just saying,
thing.
I'm obviously passionate about this idea, but go ahead. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
When I see the guys that have stepped up for Cleveland, all the guys you mentioned,
yeah, they're
still
nobodies.
Erratic players.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
and they're erratic. That's exactly. the thing. They're inconsistent players.
Yeah.
And when you face a top-ranked defense like Golden State, along with an offense that yep. is going to blitz you whenever they so feel,
that's right.
I think that's what separates Golden State here from Cleveland. Because basketball, as we know, as we've seen from the Spurs, it's a team sport. And
that's
when
right.
it's played at the team level and it's played efficiently, it's the most beautiful game in the world. And this is where I think Golden State takes it in seven.
I'm glad you bring that up, Ali, because Cleveland loves to play a lot of ISO ball.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron with the ball for how many seconds into the shot clock. And when Kyrie's healthy, he loves to do the same thing. And I'm glad you bring that up because, the Warriors love to move the ball around. They're a more efficient team on offense. They were number one in both offense and defense, if I'm not correct, when
yep,
the season ended.
They're top two in both, for sure.
At least, right? So that's the thing. I'm glad you bring that up, Ali, because that's a huge factor in the game. I just feel like, I mean, you put Klay on Kyrie Irving. You know, LeBron probably guards whoever's hot at the time. I don't know. I just feel like too many of their guys can be nullified for the Cavs.
Right. And Andrew Bogut has that effect on Tristan Thompson.
Look, yes.
All credit to Tristan Thompson. He's a Canadian.
Absolutely.
He's done outstanding this playoff. And he's turned out to be a lot more of a solid pro than so many people thought when he was drafted ahead of JV.
Right.
But when you have Bogut there and you have guys that can come off the bench, David Lee, Festus Azeli of all people
exactly.
last night stepping up.
Yep.
That's a problem for Cleveland. They don't have size. They don't match up on that end of the floor.
Jeff Van Gundy brings it up all the time that Festus is he could easily be a starting center on any other team. But that just goes to show how deep that team is.
The depth is there. That's, you know, I can't argue it. I guess what it comes down to is I believe in LeBron, and I believe that this year is their year. I think that Cleveland takes it. I just think that under that big stage, that the Golden State Warriors, they're not ready. Klay Thompson and these guys, Draymond Green, huge season, right? Or is it Draymond Green? Am I getting that right?
Max Money. Mr.
Right?
Max Money.
And he's going to get a huge deal, and he's had a great season. This is his first good season. This is Golden State's first big season as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not win the NBA championship.
He says,
you heard it here.
Over under on who does more games in the finals. Mark Jackson calling it in the awkwardness and the awkward tension there, or Joey Crawford, who is pretty much, I think the record of LeBron and Joey Crawford ref games is just outstanding. I'm not going to throw any theories out there, Flip. I'll leave that for you.
You know what? I usually like to touch over unders. That's my thing. But both of those, I'm going to call that a wash on that one. But you know what? Bottom line is, it's going to be a great series to watch, and I'm really excited to see what happens because I think Golden State is in five is craziness, Dwayne. I don't know whatever you're smoking, I want some of it.
When it happens, just remember
when you know what? If that happens, I will buy you a legit shot, not none of those crazy shots I bought you on your birthday. I will buy you a legit shot of your choice because I know for a fact that's not happening. LeBron wins game one.
Dwayne's more of a Del Monte guy.
Whoa.
Yeah, the bold statements are happening, Dwayne. LeBron wins game one and puts the team on his back. No, Golden State comes out flat, and they win by 2 points. Predictions.
So another split booth here. Stacey has the Cavaliers.
Predictions from the six.
We have ourselves a split booth then. It's a lot like Pacquiao Mayweather.
Like a split pea soup right down the middle, boys.
Bad this time, man.
So basically by next week or 2 weeks from now, okay, 3 weeks from now since we're starting next week, Flip is going to be buying us lunch thanks to the Golden State Warriors winning. So.
And you know what? If that happens, I just need to shout out my main support, Jill, one time. She needs to prepare for these bet losses, you know, potentially. Love you.
Just one more thing before we move on. But whatever the point differential between the San Antonio Spurs and Miami Heat last year, because I can't remember, but
in the final?
Yeah, in the finals last year. I want to say it was close to, or if not, an NBA record, whatever they set. I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State comes close to that this year.
Yeah, and you know what, guys?
I'm
biased, right? Like, clearly, I'm a LeBron fan. Mm-hmm. I think Cleveland's going to win regardless. But, you know, all that being said, I will give the Golden State Warriors their credit right now before I go complete homer on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Too late.
Because, no, it's not too late because I love Steph Curry. I predicted him as MVP. Not like that was a bold prediction. They're a great team. They'll have their day in the sun. Not this year.
All right.
So shall we move locally then?
I would prefer a local movement. I'm a little bit riled up right now.
A little bit All-Star game action happening yesterday in Toronto. We got the logo unveiled, a very beautiful logo of the Six.
I'm feeling the logo. I don't know about you guys. I love that. The CN Tower one especially.
Yeah, we have it up on our page at Sports from the Six on Facebook. So you should
Please check that out.
And more big news as well. The Raptors unveiled that they will have a D-League team in Toronto next season or in the GTA area.
Huge.
And that's something very important. You see Bruno Caboclo, DeAndre Daniels, Bebe Naguera, potentially the 20th pick in this year's draft. It's something where we talked about it earlier. They can harness, they can nurture their own players, they can build a system. And Andrew Wiggins also there yesterday. And Minnesota Timberwolves not too happy about that going on.
Yeah, the rumors are swirling. You know, as much as Wiggins being in the city is exciting for Canada basketball, he's a Timberwolf, and he's a Timberwolf for this foreseeable future. But you know what? Let the people talk. You know, Wiggins in Toronto is an exciting thing. Even to talk about him as a potential Raptor down the road is exciting for Toronto sports fans. And you know what? The kid is the real deal. If this year wasn't example enough, he's going to put on 10 pounds, you know, and just beast mode the league next year. I don't know. But the D-League thing, for one sec, I think is huge. Not only for for Raptors basketball, but basketball in the city. Another outlet for fans to go watch is going to be great, especially if you've got guys like Caboclo and stuff like that. I know I'll go and spend my money and watch a team for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you wonder what this does to the NBL here in Canada. But,
right.
But besides that, I mean,
yeah,
the Raptors have a huge coup on their hands with the D-League team. Masai, and it's good. It's good to see Tim Lywicki doing these things. We know he's leaving, but he's put some stamps. He's done it with TFC. He's now done it with the Raptors a little bit. So, and me and my brother were laughing because we were watching the press conference and Tim Lywicki goes, "Welcome to the CN Tower." And it's just like, you know, for us locally, it's hilarious. But it's amazing that so many people now are going to finally have Toronto on their map, on their radar. And the things that this could do potentially going forward in terms of free agency.
Yeah, for sure.
Not just with Canadians like we discussed, but it's huge.
Absolutely.
Yeah, developmentally for the team to be able to have their guys playing. You know, how much time did Caboclo and those guys spend at the end of the bench this year? They got better used to, I get the, you know, learn the experience, support your team, I get that. But the fact now that they're going to be able to play and then be called up if need be and ready to play is amazing for the Raptors.
I think it's very important that you have like that kind of a system in place for, you know, professional teams.
Yep.
You know, just in general, I mean, I've always kind of said that maybe the NFL has to institute something like that so that a lot of these rookies that are coming out can, you know, have not an advantage, but have the opportunity to develop.
Yep.
Exactly. And again, just to reiterate what you guys have been saying, to have guys like Bruno and the guys at the end of the bench who basically aren't doing anything. I mean, at least have them out there gaining some experience on the court. And
exactly.
You know, it really bodes well for their future. So it's great news for the Toronto Raptors.
Going to call them the Toronto Huskies or what?
Toronto Huskies, beautiful name. I like it.
How would that work? Like, are they allowed to take that name?
I don't know. But if I were running the team, I know that's what I'm calling them.
Okay.
Or either that or the Toronto Drakes. Too much?
Toronto Riggins for Wiggins? Or is that?
Wow.
I feel like that's a tampering clause right there. Sorry, NBA. No fines here. Flip. You can deal with all that stuff.
Look, the next segment we will touch on mafia and other suspicious related topics. But for now, or should we switch to it now? You ready for it?
Let's go. Hey,
well, you
I'm here.
It up, right?
Well, guys, like, this is big news coming out of the soccer world. The scandal-ridden federation that is FIFA. We've all known it for a while that this quote-unquote non-profit organization is a load of BS. These guys have got their hands in teams' pockets. They're taking bribes. Let's just talk about the last World Cup for a sec. It was in Brazil. These guys are playing in 40-degree heat and dying, having to take scheduled water breaks to actually combat the heat. So the great idea by FIFA was, let's move it to a desert country where it's 15 degrees hotter and more humid.
You didn't like the cooling breaks?
Cooling breaks were ridiculous. The fact that FIFA thought it was a good idea to give the World Cup to Qatar is also ridiculous and just goes to show you that you have deep pockets. Well, come have the World Cup there.
It's an absolute joke. I mean, when I first heard of it, I didn't even know what or where Qatar was.
Yeah,
once I did some research, you figure out it's an oil country and it's just like, okay, well, there you go. I I mean, you brought it up, Flip. I mean, the mere fact that it could easily be 50 degrees Celsius during the summer.
50.
That's without Humidex and any humidity.
Yeah.
It's just how hot it gets.
So FIFA's bright idea is, okay, the heat, we'll play the games in the middle of the night when it's a little bit cooler. So when do we get to watch the games? Oh, 2:45 a.m. to 5:15 a.m.
Yeah,
how does that work for you, Dwayne?
Thanks, FIFA. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
I mean, I've heard some ridiculous ideas where they said that they were going to somehow create some sort of...
like a dome?
Well, I had some sort of overhead cloud thing.
Yeah, to block out the sun?
Yeah, I mean...
Like, what is this, The Simpsons?
That's the extent that they were going to justify the stupid decision they made. It's just...
You know what, man? This gets my blood boiling so aggressively. And, like, I've joked about mafia in soccer and in sports. But clearly, the mafia is alive when it comes to soccer because... These guys are crooks, man. Sepp Blatter, I'm looking at this right now. The man makes $1.5 million a year.
Yeah.
He's got a net worth of 20 plus million. And, oh, sorry, I work for a non-for-profit organization that has $1.7 billion in the bank.
Right.
Like, don't try and pull the wool over my eyes here. This is ridiculous, and I'm happy, regardless of who's doing it. I know the FBI is funding this investigation, that some credibility is being tried to bring to soccer because this is ridiculous.
I mean, it's been going on forever.
It's been going on forever. And I think the Brazilian, sorry to cut you off, but I think the cup in Brazil was like where I saw the glaring examples of it. Brazilian Soccer Federation banned the sale of alcohol in, I think, 2007 for all of their stadiums. They get awarded the World Cup for 2014. Who's the World Cup 2014 biggest sponsor? Budweiser. So FIFA goes to the Federation Football in Brazil and says, look, you overturn this law or we pull the World Cup. Next year, what passes in Brazil? Beer's allowed back at the games. They didn't ban beer because they just wanted to. They banned beer because there was too many death-related incidents to alcohol. Like, this is crazy. And so FIFA comes in and changes everything. So this, yeah, thanks a lot, FIFA. Way to care for the little guy.
Obviously, there's going to be plenty of news upcoming because, I mean, this is an ongoing thing.
Oh, yeah, this is just getting started.
I mean, in terms of Sepp Blatter, let's not also forget that he's up for re-election tomorrow, Friday, May 29th, in terms of to see whether or not he's going to remain the president of FIFA. And I believe there's only one other person challenging him. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I forget his name as well, but I know Luis Figo, former Portugal star.
He dropped out.
He dropped out, and I'm sure it's because he knows he's going to lose.
That's the thing.
Everyone's paid
all
up.
All this going on right now, I would be shocked if Sepp Blatter doesn't get reelected. And
he's going to get reelected.
Just to mention something, I guess he's up with a FIFA Congress right now.
Yeah.
I'm just reading a quote from him where he directly says, I know many people hold me responsible. But he says, I cannot monitor everyone all the time.
That's his
response.
Wow. That's that. You know what that sounds like to me? Guilt. That sounds like an admission of guilt. I don't have anything else to say. I'll just deny it. Oh, my goodness. You know what?
You know what?
These guys are, and I just said it, these guys are crooks. And the fact that they control the world's beautiful game is just sad. Because if I'm small nations that, like, I know I will never have a shot at hosting the World Cup, it's just a shame because I know my country isn't rich. I'm not going to get it. And Qatar, I'm sorry, you don't deserve a World Cup. Get out of here, Qatar. Who are you?
And it's sad because we see it's a great time for soccer right now. We have the Champions League final coming
up.
The Women's World Cup underway here, getting underway, the preparations.
Great point,
Canada,
man.
Right, and... even something as small as Man City coming into Toronto. You know, if you're a football fan, it's a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah.
And you see things like this get ruined. And you hear of teams potentially coming out and boycotting the World Cup, boycotting international tournaments, because they don't want to be involved in this corruption any longer.
I don't blame them, can you? Because it's ridiculous. But the fact that they can still come in and drop so much money and just influence countries, it's absolutely ridiculous. And at the end of the day, it's a black eye on soccer. And it's just like AK said, it's unfortunate to take away from these big events because it is such a good time in soccer.
Yeah, I mean, and not to mention, I mean, you brought up some of the tournaments that are upcoming. We also have the Copa America coming up. And that's something that who knows what's going to end up happening in regards to the findings that come out of this investigation. We should also mention that the U.S. and the Switzerland, they're working together on this.
Right.
It's a criminal investigation, apparently, that they're working towards.
Yeah, the FBI are part of it.
Powerful officials have been indicted.
Yeah.
I mean, they went to their hotel. I mean, they were graceful with them. They went in and decided that they weren't going to put any handcuffs on them. They decided they're just going to walk them out the side entrance and take them away.
Wow.
Names like Webb, Warner, Marin, it's just, I don't know what to say. I mean, this is, again, it's an ongoing thing. I'm not quite sure that this investigation solves all of it.
No.
But it at least, you know, puts a public eye on it so that more people can be informed of exactly what's going on in FIFA.
The problems are a many, and it's, you know, it's going to be a long process. Another team facing a long process, the Toronto Blue Jays, facing all kinds of injuries.
Still only what? How many games out of first in the AL East?
I think it's 4.5, 5.5.
Man, the AL East is so bad. I'm pretty sure that my 4-year-old, when I was 4 years old, my T-ball team, we went undefeated. I'm pretty sure that we could get in there and we'd only be 10 games back at the All-Star break.
If anybody of them can pitch, just, you know, send them the Blue Jays way.
Yeah. That's the thing. Flip here is practicing his knuckleball because he's like, man, Dickie? No, I'm Flip. I can throw that knuckleball.
No, I'm practicing my knuckle sandwich. It's coming your way soon. You know what, though? They're an exciting team to watch. You know, we use excitement in this booth a lot, but realistically, they're losing a lot of games, but they're still a fun team to watch. Josh Donaldson is absolutely hitting the cover off the ball and definitely needs to be talked about for a second here. Since 2013, no one in the major leagues has more home runs against left-handed pitching than Josh Donaldson. That is a stat and a half. He's hitting for power. He's hitting for average. And he's definitely the leader in that clubhouse right now. And he's keeping the team competitive. With all these injuries and the struggles with the starting pitching, you know, we talked about it a few episodes ago at the start of the season that they were going to struggle with pitching. And it's been exactly that. If it wasn't for the fact that these guys put up so many runs, I'd be worried about that record, even that the East is weak. Without the power, the Jays would be nowhere.
Right, and that's the thing. They have a good ball club, but everybody knows, and we've talked about it on this show many times, they're a flawed club. It's only going to help now that they've gotten Reyes back. Deonner Navarro is on a rehab assignment. He'll be back soon. Devin Travis expects to be back next week as well. When this team's at full strength, yes, you can outslug, but when you're not, it's hard. They don't win unless they score 5 runs. That's pretty much the magic number for them.
Exactly.
They don't win with 4 or less because their pitching staff is just not good enough. And we saw it against the White Sox. Yes, Donaldson had the 3-run walk-off homer in the 9th. But how many times did the Blue Jays bullpen blow a lead in that game?
Could we call them the Blow Jays?
Hey.
Or is that too far?
It seems that they...
Too much? I'm sorry, guys.
Flip, I don't... See, no Paul Pierce reference, and this is what happens to Flip on Sports from the Six. He just goes,
I'm sorry, guys.
Completely bananas.
I'm sorry. I retract my statement. Go ahead.
I mean, you did... You brought up a great point, though, earlier with Josh Donaldson.
I'm okay.
So how effective he has been offensively. And he's backing up the quote that he brought up earlier where he was kind of just not necessarily calling out the team, but just making sure that everyone was on notice, you know? He wanted to make sure that everyone knew that he can only control what he does. He wants everybody else around him to do the same. And I think he specifically said this isn't the try league. This is the get it done league. And he has been getting it done. The numbers he's been putting up, especially against this last series against the Chicago White Sox. He's been incredible. So it would be nice if we could get that same. The Blue Jays could get that same kind of production from everybody else as well as the pitching. But, you know, time will tell.
You know what? The two of the key guys in this lineup have been injured. Jose Reyes and Jose Bautista are, you know, the engines that drive this team. They've been out. Bautista's been playing in the hitting lineup only, not playing in the field. And, you know, before we wrap up, I think one of the glaring things other than the pitching is that outfield defense is soft. Colabello has been, you know, as well hitting the cover off the ball. He can't field. He can't throw. You know, we've got Kevin Pillar playing left, same thing. Soft arm, great fielder, can't hit. So, you know, it's like pick your poison with these guys. And still an exciting team to watch. Tons of games left. And I think Jays fans just have to be a bit patient right now.
Now, for our fans and for everything that we've been doing, quick picks. Who's going to win Game 7? We have Tampa, we have the Rangers, we have Chicago, and we have Anaheim. Exciting time for NHL. Who do you guys have?
Go ahead, Dwayne.
I got the Blackhawks in the West, and I'm going to say Tampa Bay pulls it out.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to go ahead and go opposite of Dwayne completely and say it's Anaheim's year. Anaheim will win game seven at home. And I'm going to go against Dwayne again and continue with the New York Rangers. Tough, tough team to beat in game sevens. Rangers, Ducks, final.
Stace, who you got?
Stace, jump in.
Yep, here we go.
Flip stole my answer. I say yes. Rangers, Ducks, too. Boom. We're on the same team this time around.
Thank you, Stace.
And with the Cavs. Cavs in six. Boom. Cavs in six.
Since Stace, we're all about girl. Sports from the six here, I'm going to go Rangers. I'm going to go Blackhawks. And we're going to get a thriller of a series. Speaking of the Get It Done League, we are all done here. This week, make sure to catch us again next week. We got a lot of good topics, including the French Open, Champions League, a lot to touch on. Thank you again on behalf of the whole team. Ali Khan Rojani, signing out.
Peace.
Thank you.